Amazing. Just while they're putting the slide up, who was here in November? Seems a long time ago. Wasn't quite the same weather as now, but it was beautiful to be here. And Annie and I just want to encourage you, when we first came in to church here, we just felt a real sense of encouragement and in sense of a genuine church. And a genuine church serving your community, not just for yourselves, but for the wider community. So I just want to encourage you. Also, thank you for your prayers and other areas of support as well. It really does mean a lot to us. For those that weren't here in November, just by way of introduction, so I'm married to Annie, who's very, very fortunate to have me as a husband. For 35 years, at least we think it's 35, right? When you get to our ages, you know, numbers become a bit challenging. I'm a vicar's kid. I'm actually a missionary kid. I was born in Nigeria, as I'm sure you can tell. My dad was a missionary over there. And in fact, his dad was also a missionary, so we have three generations of missionaries. And I'm, in some respects, a little bit of a different missionary, but still very much a missionary, as indeed every one of you are. I had sort of two lives. I had my logistics life. I ran British Road Services, DHL, XL Logistics, and I was a distribution director. And then I had this mad, challenging change of everything, really, 21 years ago, when was asked, would I consider living by faith and running Christian Surfers, this mad organization, which our heart is very much to look out for the surfing and skateboarding communities, and to give every surfer in every surfing community the opportunity to know and follow Christ. And that's the mantra we've had for all those years. And there are probably about 450,000 surfers in the UK. So that's a pretty big field that needs to be reached. Surprisingly enough, even within Bristol and the surrounding areas, there are probably thousands of surfers in Bristol, which is quite a challenge. So that's a sort of the challenge. I currently look after Christian Surfers in, I've been 30 years will be this year, looking after Christian Surfers UK, and I've been looking after Christian Surfers Europe since 2004, and in the last 5 years, Middle East and Africa as well, just to add to my portfolio. So it's quite an interesting time. And I just wanted to share today about a faithful God, and there's a question mark about that. And I just want to explore a little bit about that. Who was the young lady that gave me the glass of water? Okay. You told me you were young. Anyway, I was very encouraged when she came up. She said, I'm the water monitor. So I did say, if I do something wrong, I get the water thrown over. But I don't, apparently. So thank you for that. I just wanted to sort of just unpack that faithful God. I don't know how your journey is going. As I sort of sit and see a sea of faces, which thankfully nobody's fallen asleep yet, there's probably lots of different thoughts when you enter the building today, lots of different thoughts about how am I, how is my faith doing, what are the challenges in my life at the moment. And if you're anything like me, became a Christian through Crusaders, probably at the age of 14, which was about 15, 20 years ago, something like that. Life has not been straightforward, and I don't think for any of you life is straightforward. And just because you have a faith, it doesn't mean to say that we are sort of protected from all the challenging things of life. And I'm sure as I stand here, some of you have had real challenges in your family, real challenges in health, real challenges with perhaps how your kids are, what they are they still following God, did they ever follow God? And I know for us, we have not teenagers at all, 27 and 24-ish. No, 29, isn't she? My word. 28, 26. There you go. Time flies. And again, you know, our daily prayer, which we're not as good as I'm sure some of you are, is how are our kids getting on? Is faith in their life. And some of us will have beautiful Christian children that all do everything right, and others will rebel completely. As a vicar's kid, at least one of my brothers, because of the amount of time Dad spent at the church, and mum, decided that faith wasn't for them. And it was a real challenge for mum and dad, who invested so much into the kids, but it's just like, ultimately, we can't run their lives for them. So our prayer is continued, and never give up on this. Keep praying for your kids, whatever age they are. And I just think for some of us, we've gone through things where perhaps we just don't understand what God is doing. I've had a number of people, incredible people, that sadly through ill health or car accidents or whatever, have lost their lives way, way, way before Phil Williams planned for them. And I call those my white flag moments. And I just wave a white flag to God and say, I surrender, I have no idea what your plans are. But all I know is that you are real and you have got a plan, and it's far bigger than my plan. And then sometimes you just have to trust. There's a couple of encouraging verses, which, as I say, are easy to read when things are going well, but in the middle of a storm, they're not quite as easy. First one, Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. I don't know about you, but that sort of Bible that hopefully we got to know pretty well. Some are real scholars. Some of us just sort of read the surface and take one or two key verses. There's some real truth in that. And if this verse is in the Bible, then that is a truth. Another one in the New Testament, Philippians 4:6-7. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. So those sort of verses are encouragement to me. And I just want to read one more time the reading that we had, because again, just want to bring a couple of things out from it. Again, it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted his wealth to them. To one, he gave five bags of gold. To another, two bags, and to another, one bag, each according to his ability. Then he went on a journey. The man who received five bags of gold went at once and put his money to work and gained five more. So also with two bags of gold, gained two more. But the man who had received one bag went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. The man who had received five bags of gold brought the other five. Master, he said, you entrusted me with five bags of gold. See, I have gained five more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things, and I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. I think the key thing that came out of that for me was not whether you had five bags or two bags or one which you hid. There's a key verse in there that says, each according to his ability. And I think for me, the really important thing in my Christian life is we're all got different skill sets. Every one of you has got amazing skill sets. If you ask me, could I paint a picture? Not really. I'm pretty good at stick man, but that's about it. And you may have skill sets that you have been sort of just beavering away in life, not realizing just the importance of those. You may have the opportunity just to be a God person in your community. You might be a thought provoker. You might be a conversation starter. Don't underestimate the power of those. God has given you those skills. And that key thing about I will put you in charge of many things, come and share your master's happiness. To me, God will put us up what we can cope with, and he can be trusted with small things, and he will then continue to share. So even the small things, which maybe we don't think are even worth it, God appreciates. So you may be serving your community. You might be some form of faith-based leadership. You're an unsung hero in your community. Does anybody really notice? Are there times you just want to give up? If there are, I just want to encourage you, if God's put you in your community to do a role he's called you to do, you're as much a missionary as anybody else in this world. And I had to learn that the hard way when I felt in awe of these full-time Christian Surfers missionaries, and I was just running a depot with 700 people. How could I be a missionary? And God said to me, Phil, if you're where I put you, you have an opportunity to share your faith with 700 people. You don't need to be a full-time Christian worker to be a missionary. Just want to sort of share a couple of examples in my life where I think God has just taken something very small, something that I thought was, you know, pretty mundane, and because of faithfulness, he's encouraged us. The first time I got involved with Christian Surfers, that's 1995, we had our first national gathering. Annie's going to tell me how many years ago that was, because my maths isn't good, but probably about 28 years, is that right? Yeah, something like 28 years ago. How did that come about? It came about because I used to have to travel from Bristol to North Devon every Wednesday night for 3 months to try to sort out a mess that the committee, Christian Surfers' new committee, had got themselves into. I used to come home at night thinking, what's that all about? I used to get home between 12 o'clock and midnight, and I just didn't know where on earth it was going. And yet God again saw what was happening and said, don't worry, I've got this. And hence we were able to move things on, and there we go with our first Christian Surfers gathering in that little space there in St. George's, if anyone's been to St. George's, all those years ago. There's another one there, Boardmasters serving. To some of you, especially if you've got kids, Boardmasters is about loud rock music and pretty sort of, a massive festival at Watergate Bay in Newquay. That's being there on the, I think on far right-hand side or somewhere in there. And what am I doing there? I've been on the judging panel for the week, serving the surfers at the highest level. How did I get there? Quite simply, picking up Muller rice pots, rubbish for 4 days, 5 days. God asked us to get involved with the surfing element of this, probably about 20 years ago. So we talked to the organizers, how can we help? We've got a small gazebo, but how can we help you? They said, well, look, we've got these Muller rice people, they're giving out lots of free samples. People just take it, throw it on the floor. Can you help us keep the place tidy? So that was our role for 5 days, picking up Muller rice pots. And you think, what on earth is God? How is God going to use that? That year after, they said, you have made such a big impression on this festival. We would like you to come back, have a free stall, and continue to work with us. That carried on for about another 7 or 8 years. It wasn't our heart. Our heart was reaching the surface. And lo and behold, they said, okay, we've got a problem. We would love you to come and serve the surfers, to be hospitable for them. And so then they said, could you come out from the throng, come up onto the headland, and you can be part of the hospitality for all the surfers. So suddenly that is our real mission field. Surfers around the world coming, and there is Christian Surfers running the hospitality. And then further on to that, they said, would you come on staff, so myself and another two people. All from picking up Muller rice pots. So never underestimate the power of a Muller rice pot. Ways from nowhere. I've got no hair. I've got one or two hairs, but Annie keeps wanting to cut them. But this is such an important picture to me because it reminds me of the importance of God's faithfulness. We run an outreach surf contest called the Jesus Surf Classic. It's our 31st year this year. One of the biggest, longest surf contests in the UK, even though it's got Jesus at the heart. It's so popular because we invest in the surfers right the way through from the youngest of ages. And this weekend, there should have been no surf at all. And I just felt God saying, Phil, just set up and it will come. And it's like, I can see the charts. There is no surf. What on earth are you playing at? And on that year, not always on other years, I just felt as though God was saying, just step out in faith. Saturday, there was nothing. And then Sunday, this amazing swell came. And we were able to finish the contest again. Pretty scary stuff, but that's what faith is about sometimes. And this worldwide gathering, this was in September 2018. We coordinated the Christian Surfers International all around the world to gather together as a team of missionaries, reaching out to the surfing community. We were planning it for 2 years. After a whole year, we had to change our plans completely because the campsite that we were working with kept putting more and more and more challenges in our place. So we planned it 2 years ago, and it wasn't until 6 months before we finally got the campsite. All that wasted time, and yet again, we were faithfully praying into that, and God turned it into this amazing contest venue or conference venue with 290 surf missionaries. Again, it would have been so easy to give up. And yeah, living by faith. This was Annie and I 20 years ago. Thankfully, it's not as clear as it could be, because you'll see just how young we were looking then and how haggard we're looking now. But that was when we first stepped out in faith 21 years ago, not knowing really what we were going to be doing. Going from a very nice salary, thank you very much, and a nice BMW, other car makes are available, to suddenly nothing overnight. And again, just that still small voice, trust me, I've got this. And so we've survived this last 21 years on all sorts of, we've had many, many faithful people that have sort of given, donated on a regular basis, but also random acts of kindness. Silly little things that you think, how on earth did that happen? But it's made a huge difference and encouraged us. So that's a sort of a summary of, for me, for just how the last 20 odd years has gone. Did it all go well? Absolutely not. I know for me, certainly in COVID times, I really, really struggled. The first COVID lockdown was fine because I ended up running the food bank and setting out all the home deliveries for the medical stuff in Nailsea. Fantastic. The November to March one, I really found that tough. A lot of things in my life, well, my family, and I had one part of my family bear, but the rest weren't. Community, end of our drives a little bit. Events, couldn't do any of it. Travel, couldn't do any of it. Surfing, I couldn't surf for 5 months, which to many of you in this congregation isn't a big deal. But for a surfer, and when your missions is at the beach, that's a big deal. And of course you struggled. We weren't sort of protected, but all I knew is that God was faithful. And in those darker times, not look down there, but just look up there at the faith of Jesus. So if you're going through a challenging time, then I just want to encourage you to be honest with God. God knows what we're like in our hearts. God knows the challenges. He knows that he's probably saying, okay, Jonathan, Matthew, Sarah, whatever, I know you don't know what I'm doing, you can't see what I'm doing, but please just trust. And I don't think there's anything wrong in actually saying to God, God, I don't understand, shouting to God, you're a passionate person. Jesus was a very passionate person. So just be honest with God. Tell him how you're really feeling. And if there is somebody that you'd love just to walk alongside you, grab them for prayer and say, look, can you walk alongside? Because I'm struggling at the moment. And it's very easy for me to talk about this, but the future. And this is where I've got to actually practice what I preach. You know, for me, after 30 years, there's going to be a time where I've got to hand over the baby of Christian Surfers, a baby that's been born and bred and is a teenager and almost as old as our daughter. And I'm handing it over to somebody. And that's a challenge, because who are we handing it over to? Who is there going to catch this baby? What does succession look like? But also for me and Annie, it's just a massive gap. What on earth are you going to do with your life, Phil? How are you going to survive? All those sorts of things. And so for me, what I love about whenever you get the opportunity to share is you actually spend time in prayer as well. And so I really would appreciate your prayers for Annie and I as we look, particularly over the next 2 years, what does this look like? And that verse that I remember back 20 years ago, 22 years ago, by faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. So I just just want to encourage you today. First of all, you are where God's put you to be. Secondly, all that volunteering, all that serving, it is making a difference. And if you just really want to be encouraged, pray specifically that if you're having a real downside, Lord, encourage me in some way. So it's a great privilege. I put this slide in. It's nothing to do with the talk. I just love kingfishers. And a week ago, I was sitting on my stand-up paddleboard and I saw this beautiful fish. Beautiful fish? Well, the fish isn't so beautiful because it's in the kingfisher's mouth. But it just shows the beauty of what God does. And that's there's kingfishers not far from the centre of Bristol. So we're here afterwards. We'd love to share anything. There's a couple of sort of second day on little magazines at the back, and how you can pray and support William's family. So I'll leave those at the back. But I just, again, want to thank you as a church for your time, for your smiling faces, for your prayer, and we continue to give thanks for you. Lord, I just want to thank you for the fact that you are a faithful God. I also want to thank you, Lord, that you don't protect us completely from the challenges of life, because we need to be able to relate to people that are also going through that. But I pray, Lord, if there's anybody here that is having a real challenge at the moment and can't see where you are and what you're doing, then you would just have an amazing way of getting alongside that person. Wrap your arms around them and say, trust me, trust me. Lord, we just thank you for this glorious day, and just thank you for this congregation that's making a difference in this brilliant community. Amen. Amen.
Thank you, Phil, very much. I picked up from there that, you know, we can be unsung heroes. And Phil mentioned that one of God's gifts was to be a conversation starter. We never really think of that, do we? That just by starting a conversation, you don't know how it's going to develop, but you've got to start somewhere. So thank you indeed, Phil. We're going to sing in a moment, but before we do, are there any specific requests for prayer that we should be remembering?
Just like to ask some prayer for my friends Tom and Elise. They're both Christians. They've got a daughter, Georgiana, who's I think about 4 or 5 years old now. She was, you may remember early prayers, Paul, she was born with a brain tumor, and she's had to wait to this age that they can operate on her, that I think her skull is sort of mature enough that they can operate. Her operation is tomorrow, so they're bringing her to the BRI, going to sort of drop her off at 7 o'clock in the morning. I think it's going to be sort of 6 to 8 hours or something like that. I think they're going to hopefully come out to Rington, just sort of pass a few hours with us. Elise is from New Zealand, and because of the tumour, Georgiana hasn't been able to travel, and with COVID and everything else, she's not allowed to fly. So she's got a whole wealth of family out in New Zealand who are longing to see her. So prayers, please, for Tom and Elise and for Georgiana for tomorrow. It's obviously been a harrowing few years, and pray that that all goes well, and I'll update you accordingly.
Big stuff. Georgiana. Any other prayer requests that you'd like to highlight? Let's go on then and sing, and we'll draw those prayers together in a moment or two.